Welcome to the Northern Affinity Podcast. My name is Michael Edwards and I am the host of the podcast and the founder of Northern Affinity. So I set the Northern Affinity up to bring together a community of business professionals and give them the platform they deserve to demonstrate their amazing skills, talents and experience. And in this podcast and in the second series, we will speak to those people about three different areas. We will speak to them about collaboration, we'll speak to them about values, and we'll speak to them about aspirations. We will hear what these three things mean to our guests, how it drives them in what they do, and what role those three things play on a day-to-day basis. We hope you enjoy this episode. So I'm delighted to say that on the podcast today, we are joined by Pete Evans from SalesStar. So welcome to the podcast, Pete.
Yeah, good afternoon to you, Michael, and good afternoon to everybody who's listening today.
Thank you very much, for joining us. It's great to have you here. Before we kind of go into the area of what we're going to talk about today, good to know a little bit about yourself. Tell us a bit about you and SalesStar, and then we'll kind of jump into the main conversation, if that's all right, Pete.
I'm the Managing Director of SalesStar with a UK practice partner at SalesStar. SalesStar's global head office is in New Zealand, which I had the pleasure of travelling to about 18 months ago and spending 4 weeks there over Christmas to meet the whole of the SalesStar team. We got an office in London and an office in Huddersfield in the UK, and we work with businesses to transform sales performance, and I'm humbled to have got a great team of coaches and support team in the UK working with businesses both locally, nationally and now globally as well to help transform sales performance.
Fantastic, Pete. So obviously we're recording this podcast, so we're in mid-June. We're hopefully kind of getting towards the tail end of the restrictions on the pandemic and all the things that have come from that. How's things been for you and how you've been affected, I guess, from the point of view of, I guess there's been no travel to New Zealand for a start, but generally speaking on your day-to-day, how have things been impacted?
I think we went back, you know, over a year ago to March when the first lockdown was announced. We didn't really forge position that a lot of our content and delivery was already remote. You know, we were already heavy users of Zoom and Microsoft Teams for delivery. We were doing some face-to-face delivery. I think the real change that we have seen is the impact on our clients. I think clients have been a lot more accepting of remote delivery, remote coaching. But I think, you know, during the last sort of 15, 16 months, we've really grown as a business. Just as we went into the first lockdown, I was agreeing the terms of the joint venture with SalesStar in New Zealand, between SalesStar and my business, which was a really interesting time in terms of, you know, going through the legal documents once a week with a team in New Zealand and my legal team. But I think it's really presented an opportunity for us to grow and develop as a business, have coaches in different parts of the UK that can deliver great results to our clients. And so I think it's meant a lot less travel. And, you know, we've brought on a lot of clients in the last 12 months that we've never met. I think it's presented a real opportunity to look at the business, you know, more opportunity to work from home. And I think brought in flexibility into the way we deliver and even our own working day, which, you know, you and I have talked about before. I think people talk about the old normal, but I think for me, there is no normal. I think, you know, the working patterns have changed, and it's more about outcomes you deliver and having that flexibility.
Absolutely, Pete. I don't know if you know or remember that. So the first couple of times we met was on Zoom, actually.
Yeah.
This will have been, I don't know, maybe September, October 2019, roughly, time, off the top of my head. So obviously the pandemic wasn't a thing anyone was thinking about then. And I remember it's the first time I'd used video for a few years, actually. And it was quite strange doing a meeting on video when me and you were, what, 20 miles apart, something like that, that. Felt like a strange thing to do, but how that's quickly become the norm, eh?
Exactly. Yeah, and I think people are more accepting now of having meetings like this. I think what is really unusual is that, you know, talking to some clients and they're now saying, oh, can we just have a normal phone call? And that's actually quite refreshing, because I think you and I have talked about this previously, is that, you know, you can come into the office in the morning or be sat at your desk at home, and you can spend your whole day just sat in front of a computer screen. So I think we're adapting without having to necessarily travel as far as well.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah. So you've kind of mentioned there about obviously you've got joint venture in New Zealand, and that kind of nicely leads on to the area of collaboration, because that's essentially what you've got there. And I don't know, collaboration can mean a million different things to different people. So what does it mean to you, and kind of how do you collaborate?
I think that's a great question. I mean, a lot of people talk about collaboration and they talk about partnership. My sense is they don't really truly understand what collaboration is about. And one of the reasons that I decided to do a joint venture with SalesStar in New Zealand is that we were both partners of a company in the US called Objective Management Group, or OMG. And we were both using OMG's evaluation tools to evaluate sales teams and also to support the hiring of great salespeople into organizations. And I met Paul O'Donoghue, the CEO of SalesStar, at the first OMG conference in Boston nearly 5 years ago. And I was really impressed with what Paul had to say about the future of working with organizations to grow and develop salespeople. And 5 years ago, he was talking about how traditional sales training was dead. It wasn't a scalable business anymore. And that how, you know, he was in the process with his team of moving all their content online. And initially, my business, Ventas, became a licensed partner of SalesStar, so we were able to use their content, you know, wrap my own coaching and delivery around their content. But I think there were a few things in terms of the collaboration with SalesStar in New Zealand. One was I recognized the value they were bringing to me and helping me grow as an individual, grow my business. And when Paul reached out and said that we could look at doing a joint venture in the UK because SalesStar wanted to expand globally, it seemed like the right thing to do, because it wasn't just about creating something bigger financially, but it was about alignment of values and what they could bring to my business in helping me scale up in the UK. You know, what was interesting talking to Paul, he said, you know, we've looked at different business models, we've looked at franchise, and we feel that having a joint venture gives us both a stake in something which a franchise doesn't, and it's a true partnership. And, you know, one thing that really resonated with me was he said, when we talk about partnering with people, we mean true partnership. You know, partnership is a two-way process. We talk about partnering with our clients, not being a supplier, because you build trusted status. And I think when you have a partnership with somebody, you create that freedom to give each other candid feedback as well.
And great point. Yeah, great point.
You're also focusing on outcomes rather than what one party can get out of it as opposed to the other. And you can really dig deep as well.
No, I think it's a great point. I think that's a great example and for collaboration. It's something I've talked about with other people as well, is that I believe that collaboration is not so much about actions, it's about mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously there's actions that come from the mindset, but if you are a collaborative thinker, you will naturally develop collaborations, whether it's in business or personal life as well, actually. And I think you're more likely, because that's the way you look to help people and they help you. It's just it just happens to an extent, even if you don't realize it's happening.
And I think just taking it to another level, and if I come back to sort of Northern Affinity as well, you can't collaborate with everybody, but I think what you do is you naturally gravitate to people where there is some sort of synergy in business. So they'll be either working with the sorts of companies or organizations that you want to work with. There is a crossover. There's a natural link, but I think collaboration has got to be about a match of values as well. You know, you've got to want the same outcomes for your clients. And I think you can't collaborate with everybody. That isn't possible. We have some people you'd naturally want to collaborate with, but I think the key thing for me is there's got to be a match of values. There's got to be willingness to put some skin in the game from the collaboration. And that doesn't necessarily mean money, but partnerships and collaborations take effort. It takes time to build up that trust and rapport. And you've also got to make a collaboration or partnership work, you've got to invest time into it.
No, absolutely agree. And I think that you make some great points there, Pete. So what would a good or perfect collaboration partner look like? And not, it doesn't have to be a particular for a particular end, but do you know what about them makes them a perfect collaboration partner for you?
That's a great question. I think we have some really great people that we collaborate with. And I think what makes a really great collaboration partner is one, somebody you can be candid with and you feel comfortable with, because sometimes when you're developing partnerships with people, it's not always a smooth road, and it's not a smooth road to success. So you've got to be capable of giving each other feedback. I think there's got to be openness. There's got to be complete transparency. Otherwise, the business relationship won't work either. And that is a really key thing. And I think clearly articulated goals, you know, what do you want out of the collaboration? Mm. What are expectations? Because a collaboration is a partnership. And we're talking about business here specifically, but it's a business collaboration. And I think for me, you know, one of my learns over the years is when you're collaborating, make sure there's no hidden agenda.
Yeah, absolutely. I think being on the same, the communication element of it, being on the same page is so important. There's always going to be bumps in the road, of course there is, and it's not, there's no perfect line. But I think if you've got the kind of good communication and you're both kind of aiming at the same thing, you've got a good chance of it making it work, or a better chance of making it work, should I say?
Yeah, and I think it does come back to shared values. And I think, you know, one of the things, you know, one of the great things you've done with Northern Affinity is you brought people together. You know, you brought people together from the same sector, different sectors. And for me, collaboration is about demonstrating that you're willing to work with others. Mm. I think collaboration can also be about helping others who are perhaps starting out on their journey and inspiring others as well. Because you never know where somebody's going to go to. So, you know, you can share expertise or advice in different ways as well and inspire people. And I think that's a true part of collaboration.
No, great point. And obviously, one thing you've mentioned the word a few times, values, nice segue into that, really. And yeah. I'm a big believer that shared or similar values, kind of anything can happen. You can make it work. It gives you a great chance of making it work. Different personalities is fine, actually. Yeah. In fact, it actually helps having different personalities sometimes. But
it does, yeah.
If you have a shared similar values, then you know that is a great starting point. So for you, what values matter to you, Pete?
I'm going to start with some personal stuff first of all, and then move on to our business values. And I worked this out a few years ago, but one of my sort of personal mission statement is to have a positive impact on everybody that I come into contact with. And that can be from somebody in business, but it can also be from, you know, meeting somebody in the street who's not got the quality of life that I'm able to benefit from. We might be begging on the streets and, you know, buying them a cup of coffee and a sandwich and inspiring them and investing some time with them. I think as many people know, people refer to me as smiler. So I talk about, you know, putting a smile on people's faces.
Yeah, so if anyone has ever met Pete before or seen a picture, basically, he will be smiling 97% of the time, at least. I don't know how your face doesn't ache constantly, Pete, I'll be honest. And if I ever watch something that I particularly laugh and smile a lot during, or TV program or something, my jaw aches. Maybe I don't get enough practice of it that you do anyway.
Yeah, you probably don't. Although when I was younger, I was actually diagnosed as having arthritis of the jaw because I actually used to smile in my sleep.
No way.
and I had to eventually had to wear a brace, but only at night to stop me smiling in my sleep. So
I did not know that was a thing. I didn't know that was a thing.
It does actually exist. Yeah, yeah. But I think it actually comes down to mindset as well, you know, and realizing that you've got a choice, and there are lots of people who've not got the same opportunities as you, so you can impact on people. I think for me, the other things which are important to me personally are, you know, it's about having the right mindset with people. And it's also about personal alignment. We've talked quite a bit about alignment. I think it's also about being courageous and having that can-do mentality. I think it's about acting with, you know, getting people to act with integrity. And for me, being candid, you know, that openness and receptivity to give each other feedback. So I think on a personal level, you know, there's a lot in terms of my personal values, which hopefully come across to people when you're dealing with them. But if I relate it then to our, we have four key business values. And one of them, which is really key as a starting point, is doing things for the right reasons. And I think this is really interesting because doing things for the right reasons is making sure that our clients are aligned with what we're doing. So if you don't do things for the right reasons, often what you'll do in business is take a client on because you need the money. Now, when you're starting out, that can be really difficult because you need clients to pay the bills.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
But I think, you know, you and I have talked about this, is that sometimes when you take clients on for the wrong reasons, they can actually turn into the client from hell.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It wasn't worth it, was it, basically?
It wasn't worth it. You know, you spend so much time on them trying to make it right that it's just not profitable. That is really, really key in how we do things. You know, for us now, we have to have an alignment of values. That we don't expect the clients or our partners to have exactly the same values, but I think there's got to be a meeting of minds. And that's key. Our next value is team first. So, and I think great credit to Paul, but our business isn't about one ego or one personality. It is about the team, and we talk about the team. That's one of our core values. No lone wolves. We're all a team together. You know, and I talk about we win together, we lose together. You know, when we are prospecting or we're doing presentations, you know, we do that as a team. We learn, and we learn from each other. And the team is about treating everybody with the same respect, whatever age they are and whatever role they are. And I think that's evidenced by the fact that, you know, we've recently taken on Michelle Cowan's son, Dylan, yep, who's joined as a sales apprentice and is going to be doing a degree in sales at Leeds Trinity University starting in September. So it is about team first. And then our next value is about creating raving fans. Sometimes I think people find that a bit strange. What we say is that raving fans isn't just about getting our clients to be raving fans, but it's getting people to be who we partner with, who do work for us, to be raving fans of ourselves as well, you know. Yeah. And I think that is so, so important because we're setting the market out for what, you know, what we do as a business. We're saying to a prospective client before they sign up, we want you to be a raving fan of what we do.
Yes.
I think that's so, so key. And when, you know, if we don't set out with that, we're not aligned to our own culture and what we do.
Okay, makes sense.
That is so important to us as a business. Yeah. You know, in terms of what it is that we're looking to do with people. So I think values are so important to us as a business, and you know, that's key. And the last value is being a product of our own product. And what we mean by that is we are transforming the performance of sales teams, sales leaders, salespeople. So everything that we coach our clients to do, we do ourselves. So we don't ask people to do something that we're not prepared to live and breathe ourselves. So an example of that is we work with organizations to bring in, you know, cutting edge sales performance around sales meetings, coaching, and we do that in our own business. We'll role play, we'll practice. So we are a product of our own product. So I think, you know, that the values are really important to us in our business, and personal values are so important as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. And I want to pick up on one of them personal ones, which you could kind of, I guess, tag under the heading of social responsibility.
Yeah.
And it's really, really interesting. So from the discussions I've been having with people about collaboration and values, it's the one thing people who seem to be thinking collaboratively seem to have a value of around social responsibility. People call it different things and in different environments, but they... like the greater good, looking after other people. So we've got plenty of people who have causes that they are passionate about, whether it's the environment or helping young people or the homeless or whatever it might be, all perfect, obviously very valid things to be passionate about. Yeah. But essentially, it kind of, like I said, it's about having a greater social responsibility. And it seems to be something that those people, it's part of the mindset that we touched on earlier.
You're
thinking as well, you seem to also have that about you. I mean, it's something I'd thought of before, but it's a really interesting area that people were working in. I don't know about your experience of people you work with in that area.
I think this is really, really interesting. I think people, it's not, I think nowadays, you know, running a business isn't just about making money. It's about the sense of purpose. You know, what is your why?
Yep.
What are you trying to do? SalesStar talks about its BHAG, you know, which is having a million raving fans by 2030. And I think when you sense with purpose about having a positive impact on others, and it's not just about creating profits, then I think that drives different behaviors. It empowers the people that are in your team. You can see the impact you're having on people.
Yeah.
You know, and I think also it makes you stand out. And I don't think it's just about words. It's about the actions you take as well. You know, who you collaborate with and who you collaborate with personally. And as you know, I wouldn't say I was the best runner, but I do enjoy running for mindset and the social interaction. And one of my friends who's a runner, Dave, and you know, he's been my running coach, and interestingly, he's inspired me because of, you know, he'll say, you talk a lot to your clients about mindset, actually you can run further than you think. But one day I didn't realize that had such an impact on him, because I didn't realize how much he was suffering personally from a mental health perspective. I think your responsibility and your reach, if you've got the right values, that extends a lot further than just your business. You know, when people realize the impact you can have on others.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. So kind of moving on to the final area, kind of gone values, and it's kind of, these are all things that are very well aligned, really, is your aspirations. What do you want to do? So what are your dreams? Where are you trying to get to, Pete? Apart from to run further, that obviously is.
Yeah, that's always a constant battle with my hamstring injury at the moment. And well, it is in the mind, but it's just making you.
Awesome.
I think I'm just going to relate some of this to one of the values of the All Blacks, and they talk about leaving the shirt in a better place. So I think, you know, I've done a lot of reading around the All Blacks and the culture. I think, you know, one of the things that I've picked up is that a lot of, you know, rugby union players in New Zealand aspire to play for the All Blacks. And often when they get picked, they think, oh, they've made it. And they're reminded of the fact that actually, no, their role is to leave that shirt in a better place for the next player who takes that shirt. And I think that really resonates with me, because I look at myself as the MD of SalesStar in the UK and think, I'm actually a custodian of the brand.
Yeah.
So I think personally, what I want to do is leave SalesStar in a better place than when it originally arrived in the UK. I'm ambitious to want to grow SalesStar in the UK and be the brand of choice for sales transformation. We're talking to Gemma Burback at the moment about raising our profile as a business in the UK. So I think we're still the best kept secret. we have great clients locally. We have great clients internationally. So it's about getting out and, in a nice way, shouting about our success. But I think it's about leaving a legacy for others. You know, I've got younger people in the team now, so if we can leave a legacy for them and inspire them, I think that's what it is. But I think on a day-to-day basis, it's about inspiring others to, you know, get outside their limiting beliefs and achieve what they want to achieve. I think when you help others, you help yourself achieve your own goals. So I think it's always got to be about others, about getting people to understand excellence and achieve excellence. That's what it's about.
I love that. Yeah, that they, you know, as great it is to see somebody else achieve it from your help, you know, there is a element of self-satisfaction with that as well, which is good for everybody, isn't there? And it's a fantastic feeling to do that for somebody else.
Definitely, because I think it inspires you to sort of greater levels of purpose and insight as well. And I think that's what it's all about.
I agree. And so we'll talk about limiting beliefs here, Pete. So imagine no limits, right? 5 years' time, everything has gone perfectly.
Yeah.
We all know it probably never happens in business, but let's assume it does for the next 5 years. Everything's gone smooth where you want it to be. What does it look like? What is Pete Evans doing in 5 years' time? Where's the business? Where are you? What are you doing on a day-to-day basis?
I think in 5 years' time, if the, you know, everything has gone according to plan. I think by that stage, I'd want to be working part-time in the business. I don't think I could ever give up work completely because I like having a positive impact on others. And I think I would get bored. But I'd like to think that I'll be in the position where I can travel more, maybe spend time in New Zealand, spend time in Spain because I'm a Spanish speaker, but still having a positive impact on others, but not working as much day-to-day in the business, you know, and hopefully by then being able to realise some value from the investment of time that I've made into the business. So I think still working with others, but not to the same level of intensity as I am today. And seeing other people step up and taking over maybe the role that I'm performing or, you know, others are performing in the business. I think it comes back to leaving a legacy.
No, I love it. Love it. I think it's great, Pete. I think that's a really honourable thing, if nothing else, to have that as an aspiration, because part of that is not just about you, it's about other people and giving them
a
help.
So exactly,
That's great. Well, thank you, Peter. That's fantastic. That's the area. I love hearing that, aspirations for people. It's my favourite bit of this podcast, is asking that question. So obviously, thanks for joining us today. If people do want to find out more about yourself, Pete, or SalesStar, where are the best places to...
If anybody wants to find out about SalesStar, if you go to www.salesstar.com, or if anybody wants to reach out to me, it's pete.evans@salesstar.com. So I'm more than happy to have a chat or find me on LinkedIn.
That's brilliant, Pete. Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks very much, Michael, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much for listening to the latest episode of the Northern Affinity podcast. So if you'd like to get in touch with us, we'd love to hear from you about aspirations, about collaboration, and about what your values are. So you can directly contact me. My email address is michael@thenorthernaffinity.co.uk. Or we are all over social media platforms, so you'll be able to find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and YouTube. All you need to do is search for The Northern Affinity, and I'm sure you'll be able to find us. One last ask from me, if you could possibly share this episode, if you've enjoyed it, with people who you may also think would find it useful. If you could rate, review and subscribe as well, we really, really would appreciate that. So again, thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time on the Northern Affinity podcast.